Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to our podcast, The Greek Current, for your daily roundup, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HALC staff. Congressman Gregory Meeks and Joaquin Castro faced off today for the chairmanship of the influential House Foreign Affairs Committee in a contest that at times had the feel of a battle between Democratic leadership and the more progressive wing of the party over what its foreign policy platform should look like. Laura Kelly, a D.C.-based journalist with The Hill, joins us to discuss today's historic vote and what it could mean for President-elect Biden's efforts to implement his foreign policy vision. Laura, it's great to have you back on The Greek Current.
Always happy to be here. Thank you.
So we have a new chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. What can you tell us about this historic race and give us some background on Congressman Gregory Meeks, who's going to be the first African-American chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee?
Yeah, so Congressman Gregory Meeks was elected today in a caucus-wide vote. So the entire Democratic caucus elected him. His win does make him the first African-American chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which comes at a time where there's a bigger push for racial diversity among senior leadership roles and this reckoning with race relations across the U.S. Congressman Meeks is the third ranking member of the committee. I believe that he has served on the Foreign Affairs Committee since he entered Congress in 1998. So he has over two decades of experience both on the Hill and in the committee.
Just how important is the House Foreign Affairs Committee and its chairman when we talk about shaping U.S. foreign policy?
Well, there's really, three key panels that we think about three key areas that we think about when we think about U.S. foreign policy. We have the State Department, we have the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and we have the House Foreign Affairs Committee. So Congressman Meeks is really a forward-facing lawmaker in U.S. foreign policy, in the message that it sends to the world, and the priorities that are going to be put forth. And Congressman Meeks has talked about that he is fully behind President-elect Biden in his foreign policy priorities. It's going to be looking at rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, focusing on climate change as a priority in foreign policy, and other issues such as rejoining the Iran nuclear deal, and also a greater focus on revitalizing and reinvigorating the State Department that Democrats say has been completely demoralized under 4 years of the Trump administration.
Congressman Meeks faced off against Congressman Joaquin Castro, as we mentioned in our introduction. And the race kind of represented a generational, geographic, and ideological divide within the Democratic Party. And you wrote in your piece that the race at times had the feel of a proxy battle between Democratic leadership and the more progressive wing of the party. How did this play out during the race? And just how different were the views of Congressman Meeks and Congressman Castro on how Congress should influence foreign policy?
Yes, it is interesting on the face that this race between Congressman Meeks, who, he's in his late 60s, he's from New York, he grew up in a public housing project in East Harlem, and he was the third ranking member on the committee, a senior member of Congress, versus Congressman Joaquin Castro, who is in his mid-40s, grew up in Texas, and is a Mexican-American. He is the grandson of a Mexican immigrant, and he is the son of Latino community activists. So it kind of looks like this battle between the establishment leadership of the Democratic Party, of which the majority really put their support behind Congressman Meeks, and this progressive wing of the Democratic Party, which have had growing tensions over the past couple of years as we've had more firebrand lawmakers like Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Ayanna Pressley really bring progressive ideas to the forefront of the national conversation. And Congressman Castro actually, I felt, brought this campaign for the House Foreign Affairs Committee gavel to the public. He wrote a lot of op-eds about his positions. He gave interviews. He received endorsements from dozens of outside progressive groups. But the contest really is among the members. And so I think probably where Congressman Meeks did a better job is campaigning among the members themselves. But on the issues, the two men are really not that divergent. Again, Congressman Castro was probably a little bit more vocal in his push for what some people would call progressive foreign policy. But Congressman Meeks doesn't really break on many of those ideas. He's just maybe not as public facing or as vocal about it. So both men, again, they look different, but they were really coming from the same place. And they both expressed a real dedication to the committee and a dedication to supporting President-elect Biden and his foreign policy agenda of really bringing the U.S. back to the world stage, rebuilding alliances, confronting China, reinvigorating the State Department, and also looking at the U.S. role and relations with Asia, Africa, and in the Western Hemisphere. So they've got a really big agenda ahead of them.
Now that we're on the topic of progressive lawmakers in Congress, it's been clear that the progressives have been pushing the Democratic Party and President-elect Biden to adopt more left-leaning policies on issues like military spending, U.S. troop deployments abroad, and free trade deals. Does this election of Congressman Meeks resolve some of the, you know, immediate concerns related to, you know, what the platform is going to be?
A lot of that will have to wait until the results of the Georgia Senate elections. Now it's kind of operating with the idea that the Senate may be controlled by Republicans. And if that is the case, there's going to have to be a lot more work done on building consensus between Democrats and Republicans on many issues, but for this case, on foreign policy. So if Republicans control the Senate, we probably can't expect any really radical, progressive foreign policy items moving forward. But even if Democrats take control of the Senate, I think President-elect Biden is probably going to be a little bit reserved in the near term to kind of gauge where the U.S. stands in the world and how to approach some of these bigger conflicts, like rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, working with allies, confronting China, things like that.
You mentioned a number of Congressman Meeks' priorities. Do you have any indication on what priority may be, you know, top of the docket day one of the new Congress in 2021?
Been hearing about is the importance of the reauthorization of the State Department. It's legislation that doesn't necessarily come about every year. I think Chairman Engel succeeded in passing a version of the State Department reauthorization bill in the House, and it was supposed to go into the National Defense Authorization Act. And it's kind of legislation that lays out foreign policy priorities as well as appropriations for the State Department. And that seems to be a big priority for the House Foreign Affairs Committee so that they can reinvigorate Congress's role in oversight of the State Department and oversight of foreign policy. So I think that will be one of the first priorities. But also, when I was speaking with Congressman Meeks and Congressman Castro, and even Congressman Sherman, who was also running in the race, all of them said that there's so much to do that so many things will have to be happening at once. So, you know, reaching out to allies, making a plan on confronting China, and all of these other issues.
You mentioned that we're operating with the possibility that the Senate could remain in Republican hands. What can you tell us about the relationship between Congressman Meeks and his Republican counterparts in the House Foreign Affairs Committee? As we saw earlier today, the Republicans also elected their ranking member, Representative McCaul.
And Congressman Meeks garners a lot of respect on both sides of the aisle, members on the Democratic side and members on the Republican side. And the House Foreign Affairs Committee and foreign affairs in general, there is that ideal to keep partisan politics at the water's edge. And Congressman McCaul, in my observation, he has been a lawmaker who has really pushed for bipartisan consensus in his work with Chairman Engel. So I think we can expect that to continue, and I think that's a good thing.
Laura, thanks for joining us. It's great having you back on The Greek Current, as always.
Thank you.
In other news, the European Commission on Thursday signed a memorandum outlining a detailed plan agreed by Greek authorities and EU agencies to establish a new up-to-standard reception center on the island of Lesbos by early September 2021. This is a key step in resolving the situation following the fires that destroyed the Moria camp earlier this year. Following the fires, the European Commission announced the setting up of a task force to deal with the emergency on Lesbos based on the principles of the new Migration and Asylum Pact. Today's agreement fulfills our commitment to sustainable solutions, practical European solidarity with Greece, said the Vice President of the European Commission, Margaritis Kinas, on Thursday. Finally, the number of COVID-19 patients on ventilators jumped to 622 on Thursday as pressure on the Greek health system is not showing any sign of easing. The daily death toll was also high, with authorities reporting 100 new fatalities, which pushes the total to 2,706. Meanwhile, the mayor of Sedes, a city in northern Greece, said on Thursday that the city will scrap plans to set up Christmas decorations this year and instead will donate the money to the local hospital's intensive care ward. The mayor said funds will pay for 2 additional ICU spaces, 3 medical monitors, and 1,000 protective suits for medical staff. Cities in northern Greece have been the hardest hit by the pandemic, and the daily number of cases in the country's second largest city, Thessaloniki, remains higher than those reported in Greater Athens, an area with a population 3 times larger. That wraps up today's Daily Roundup. Thanks for tuning in.